evening, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday night church service here at Calvary. And hope everybody's had a great day today. It has been some gorgeous weather today. We thank the Lord for Sunday, the Lord's Day, and everything that He's had packed within it. And had a wonderful service this morning. Our ladies did an excellent job singing that brand new song, I Lift My Praise. And we're just so proud of them and how it blessed the church. And I hope you were blessed off of that song and the choir songs. And we're just blessed with talent here at Calvary. And so very thankful to have those who want to serve the Lord. And but this morning we looked at some things out of 1 Kings chapter 17. And we looked at some things concerning the brook Cherith and how that Elijah was called to go there by God, and but yet it was a protecting plan God had in mind to protect him from Ahab, and it was a provisional plan that he had in mind. He the Lord fed him by the ravens and allowed him to drink at the brook, and it was a practice, reasons of practice as to why God led him there. The brook dried up. And when the brook dried up, there was a time where Elijah just waited patiently on the Lord. The Lord spoke to him, and he went on to Zarephath. And that was a great time, I'm sure, of exercising of faith to wonder what to do. But tonight's a brand new service, and we're looking forward to it. Thank you for tuning in, and we're just blessed to have you tune in and watch each and every service as we go through this pandemic. I do want to bring attention to the election on Tuesday. Let us all continue in prayer. If you haven't voted, go vote. Your vote counts. And there's a big rally tonight for Trump in Rome, Georgia. And some people we know is going to that. And what a blessing. I couldn't imagine the people that would be there, of course. Safety must be in play, and so I hope those that are there are wearing masks, but nonetheless, let us pray for this election, and that God would have His hand on it, and we know He does, and we know He will. But tonight, let's remember Brother Ceylon and his family. Let's remember Miss Thelma Plemons, which is John Plemons' wife, and we know that Brother John went home to be with the Lord this morning, and so let's remember the Plemons as they prepare funeral arrangements. And what a sweet man of faith, Brother John was, served as the chairman of deacons at Floyd Road for a number of years, and I served with Brother John for a number of years as well, and so let's pray for the family. Again, let's remember Brother Jim Daly. He needs our prayers, breathing conditions. And again, there was a special unspoken that was called in, and they wanted me to mention that. And so please pray for this unspoken request. Let's remember all the folks on our prayer list in its entirety, and all of those who are in dire need of intervention tonight. Let's remember. Saturday, let's also remember, November 14th will be our movie night outside. And then following on that Sunday, Brother Snyder will be here. Snyder Turner will be here with us. And he'll be preaching and baptizing Jessica King. And so we're looking forward to these events that are getting ready to take place. And again, we just count it an honor and a joy and a privilege to be here tonight. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord may have for us. Brother Randy will be singing in just a minute, playing the keyboard. We appreciate him. And so let's pray tonight, and we'll toss it back to Brother Randy. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we stand in awe of who you are and for what you do. Many times it just sounds repetitious to say that, but we mean it every time, every single time. We are amazed at what you do, who you are, And Father, tonight we pray for this election that you would be at the helm of it. We know you're in control, and Lord, we cast our vote for the one we feel has biblical principles. But Father, undergirding all of that is our faith, which lies in Christ alone. And Father, tonight we pray for the Plemons, that you'd be with them and minister to them, help them during this unfortunate time. No one's seen it coming, the death of Brother John. But God, help us be reminded tonight that he is completely well. And there's a great reunion taking place. Be with Brother Jim Daly and his physical elements, and Miss Dawn and Jim Jr. and family, the Ashworths. God, touch their families all together. Be with our shut-ins. Be with those in our church who has unspoken requests. We pray, God, that you would align the pieces so that they could move forward in their life with you. We love you tonight. Continually keep us safe as we worship at Calvary. Lord, give us leadership and guidance as we plan and look ahead. But tonight we just pause and say thank you for being the great God and Savior that you are, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift our praise to you for being a God that cares. Meet with us tonight in a mighty way, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord tonight. He doesn't throw the clay away. And I'm glad he doesn't do that when we drop the ball and we fumble on obedience. If he did that, he would have threw me away a long time ago. But we praise the Lord that he is a faithful and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to speak on a subject that we're all familiar with, but I believe it's a tool that we have as believers that is not utilized that often. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 6 as our starting point. And I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 18. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here in Ephesians chapter number 6, of course, we know that this is the armor of God. And basically, the armor of God is the identity of Jesus Christ. But yet Paul breaks it down in pieces as a soldier or a warrior would wear. He says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And he mentions these separate pieces, different pieces of armor. Verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then he says in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And of course, in verse number 17, he tackles the subject of, he mentions a helmet here, the sword of the Spirit. But then in our verse, verse number 18, he mentions prayer, that we're to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer tonight has many forms. When we go to God, we pray, we talk to Him. But prayer can be divided into different ways and different forms. And tonight I want to reiterate this subject again. It's been a while since I've spoken on this subject, particularly. But I want to talk about an acronym of prayer, or an acronym on prayer. You say, what's an acronym? Well, basically, an acronym is an abbreviation formed from initial letters of a word. For instance, FBI. That's an acronym. And it means Federal Bureau of Investigation. Don't worry when I say that, FBI. But it is a Federal Bureau of Investigation. And we all know what they do. They get themselves involved when they need to governmentally. Tonight, I want to talk about the word ACTS. ACTS would be a good acronym on prayer. An abbreviation formed from the initial letters of a word. And so tonight, let's look at the word ACTS. And in that word ACTS, we can take one letter, A and C, T, and S, and we can look at, as the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. I believe in that word ACTS covers most of the types of praying that we can do. For example, let's look at the letter A. The letter A can stand for adoration. And when we go to the Lord in prayer, we ought to go to God in prayer with a heart that adores Him. Now, the word adoration, it means deep love or respect. And basically, you are entering His presence in adoration with a deep love and respect for God, and you're entering His presence with praise for who He is, who God is. We are adoring Him. We offer a prayer of adoration coming from a deep love in our heart for who He is. So when we pray, we come into His presence and we thank God for who He is. So the question is, who is God? What is He like? What kind of characteristics does He have that we see Him work in life, that we see in the pages of the Bible that He works? What are some characteristics that we adore about God and offer up praise and adoration during our prayer time? Well, of course, we all know this, but God is love. We come before Him and we offer a prayer of adoration coming from a heart of love and respect. And we say, Lord, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for loving others. We thank You for being a God who loves. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Not only God tonight is love, and when we go pray to Him, we pray and we offer a prayer of adoration. We say, God, thank You for being a God of love. But also, He is a faithful God. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "Though we believe not, yet He abideth faithful." There's times in life that we struggle to believe, and there's times in life where we wrestle with what we're going through, and we struggle with will God. We struggle with the fact, well, will God come through in this situation? Will He take care of us? There may be a struggle of doubt and a struggle of faith, but the Bible says, Paul speaking to Timothy, "Though we believe not, yet He abideth faithful." And I want to say that when we enter in God's presence at prayer time, we are to offer a prayer of adoration, saying, God, Your love, but also, God, You have been faithful to me in my life. There has been times, O Lord, where I haven't been faithful to You, but there never has been a time where You have not been faithful to me. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God who's faithful to His people, regardless if we're faithful to Him or not. Another kind of characteristic of God it has to do with just God being good. The goodness of God. In Psalm 86 and verse number 5, listen to this. Psalm 86 verse number 5, the Bible says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." How about that tonight? So David says that we serve a God that is good. He is plenteous in mercy. He is ready to forgive all of those who call upon Him. And so that's an attribute of the Lord tonight that is so precious to us. And when we come into His presence, we ought to thank Him and praise Him for being a good God. We ought to praise Him and thank Him for being a faithful God and a God who is loving and a God who cares. When it comes to an acronym on prayer, the word ACTS is a great example. And again, A can stand for adoration. Not only He is good and He is faithful, He's a God that's full of love, but He is a patient God. He's a patient God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 tells us of the long-suffering of God to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in that particular verse, God is being patient to the church because it's our job to get the gospel out. And so He is patient with the church in getting the gospel out. But He is also patient to those who haven't repented of their sin in life to be born again. And so therefore we have a patient God. I'm glad, like the song Brother Randy just sang a moment ago, that I'm glad he didn't throw the clay away. All the times that we slip and stumble and fumble and grumble and gripe and complain and we don't measure up to the target of his holiness, God tonight is patient with us. He knows how to put us back together, and he does so with his love. He does so because he's faithful, and he does so because he's good and he's ready to forgive. Not only that, but God is holy. And we read that in Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 3. That he's holy. And then in Ephesians chapter number 2 verse number 4 tells us in the very book we're in tonight that God is graceful. He's graceful. Chapter number 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He is graceful and merciful, God is. And tonight when we go into his very presence, we ought to offer a praise, a prayer of adoration, just coming from and overspilling from a heart of love for him, for who he is. Being so graceful and merciful. Being a holy God, a patient God, a good God, a faithful God, and a God of love. But I want to mention something else about the letter A in adoration. He's also an unchanging God. James chapter number 1 and verse number 17 mentions that there is no shadow of turning within him. There is no variableness. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of lights, wherein there's no variableness, no shadow of turning, which simply means he is immutable. He's unchanging. The Lord changes not. And that's a blessing tonight, to know that there's times in life where I change. And when you change, we may have a change of mind in something and exit a plan we have together, but God doesn't do that. He's a God who has laid out his plan in the pages of the Word of God. And because of that, we can go to the pages of the Word of God, and we can embrace his promises. We can build a life upon these principles, all because he is unchanging. He's an unchanging God tonight. And he deserves adoration this evening. Let me mention something else. Not only all of these things are the characteristics of our Lord, but tonight he is a sovereign God. We're in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 11, listen to this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. How about that? He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We see that he's sovereign. He is sovereign over everything in life. He is steadily at work and working everything after the counsel of his own will. Isn't that a blessing tonight to know that God takes the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he works it all together? He has a plan this evening. And because of that, we can rest in the fact that we may not understand what God is doing in our life. We may not know particularly how he's working and what he's using, but we do know that he is working everything after the counsel of his own will. We go before the Lord in prayer. The first thing we ought to do, this list is a good way to pray, is go to him with adoration, thanking him that he is a sovereign God, that he is steadily and constantly working in and on our behalf. Notice this. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 139, listen to this. One of my favorite chapters in Psalms. Psalm 139. Notice what he said. David says in Psalm 139 In verse number 1, we see that the Lord is an omniscient God. Omniscient simply means He is all-knowing. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. He's omniscient tonight. He knows our frame. He knows our name. He knows our game. He knows everything about us. He's an all-knowing God. He knows everything about every person. He knows everything that's taking place in life. He's fully aware of the election, the voting, and all of those things that's coming up on Tuesday. He's fully aware of the pandemic. He's fully aware of the protesting. He's fully aware of the hurricanes and the storms that's taking place in life. God is fully aware of all of those things, and He's fully aware of where you're at tonight in your heart and your mind. David said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. But then, we won't turn there, but you can look it up. But in Jeremiah 32, verse 17, He's omnipotent. He has all power. The Lord tonight has the ability to do anything that He wants to do. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He can touch you and touch me in my life. And He can make all things abound and move forward if He wants to. Tonight He is omnipotent. But back in Psalm 139, verse 7 to 8, He's omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. Listen to this in Psalm 139, verse 7. David says, Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. And David is saying here that the Lord is, He's omnipresent. There's nowhere that I can go where the Lord is not there. If I go all the way to the east, He's there. All the way to the west, He's there. Anywhere I go, at all places, the Lord is there. Tonight, He is omnipresent. And when we come to the Lord in this matter of prayer, we can use this acronym ACTS, and we can take that first letter and apply what Ephesians 6:18 says, praying with all prayer. We can come to Him with this kind of prayer, a prayer of adoration, and say, Lord, I want to thank You for being omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, Lord, in my life and in the world. Lord, I come to You in prayer, and I'm thanking You for being a God who's sovereign, a God who is unchanging, a God who's graceful, patient, and holy. Lord, You're a God who loves, a faithful God. Lord, You're a good God. This is a prayer of adoration. And you could pray differently. You could pray however you like to pray, but this is a good way to pray. Coming before Him before any requests are made. Coming before Him before we offer up any complaints or any kind of supplications, we just say, Lord, we adore You for who You are. We acknowledge that You're working in our life. We acknowledge all of these characteristics about Yourself. That's a good way to start your prayer. What about the letter C tonight? We see that A can stand for adoration, but then C can stand for confession. Confession. After we go to the Lord and we pray, and we pray through adoration, and we're thanking Him for who He is and for the things that He does, for the kind of God that He is, these characteristics about Himself, we're thankful for those things. But then it's a good time to confess. If there's anything to confess. Tonight we see that the sinner, the unredeemed person, can come to Him in confession and receive forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9 says that. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10. Then Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what's wrapped up within that is the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. All sins being forgiven. This is the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer. The unredeemed prayer. But then there's the saint's prayer when it comes to confession. The saint's prayer. And that is in 1 John 1:9. And we know that John is writing to the children of God, the three epistles of John, 1, 2, and 3. But in 1 John 1:9, he mentions at great length about the saint's prayer, the saint's prayer of confession. And he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when it comes to being a saint, there's times where we get dirty. Yes, our past, present, future sins are gone. But you see, our minds has to be cleansed. Our whole spiritual frame, we have to be renewed again. Our relationship between God and ourself is still intact because of the new birth. But there comes times in our Christian life where we get dirty. There's times in our Christian life where maybe there's something we should have done that we didn't do. And therefore we need to make sure we have an unclouded relationship with God. And so therefore we confess. We say something like this: Lord, it's Monday night and I didn't read my Bible today. I didn't pray. And that's something I should have done. That's the sin of omission. Or you may come and say, Lord, well, it's Monday night and I shouldn't have done this. I mouthed off to somebody. I just really took out some aggravation on a person in traffic. That's the sin of commission. And so tonight, whether it's something that we did do that offended God or something that we didn't do that we should have done that offended God, we are all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, as being a saint of God, confession must be part of our prayer life. I like what Bill Stafford says, used to say, he's in heaven now. He says, church, let us stay repented, up to date. That's so true tonight. Let us stay repented, up to date. There's a third letter in this acronym of ACTS. Has to do with prayer, and that is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And so we have adoration. We're expressing our gratitude for who God is. Then there is confession. We are confessing our shortcomings. But then there is thanksgiving. This is the prayer of thanksgiving. And so we praise the Lord for who He is. And we praise the Lord more specifically for what He does and what He has done. We've already praised Him for who He is in adoration. But now there's thanksgiving, more specifically praising Him for what He has done. What has He done tonight? Well, in Psalm 103, I want you to notice, if you would, Psalm 103. Check this out. Psalm 103 in verse number 1. I didn't have enough markers to mark every place. Psalm 103 in verse number 1, he says this concerning what God has done. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He goes on to verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts, how about that, unto the children of Israel. And so we see in this verse some things that God does. In verse number 3, he forgives. He forgives our sins. Also in verse number 3, he heals all thy diseases. Now this can have to do with, this can mean in part physical disease and also spiritual disease. And let me just say this, that if God doesn't heal our physical disease here, ultimately he heals our physical disease there. The Lord has a way of healing diseases, whether physically or spiritually. God touches us. That's what he's done. And when we go into his presence, we say, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. And thank you, Lord, for healing me, number one, spiritually. And then the times you have healed me physically. And one day, ultimately, the ultimate healing. In verse number 4, he mentions being redeemed from a life of destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? How many watching tonight has ever been down a road in your life where, I know I have, Brother Randy, been down a road in life where you know you were going the wrong way, you could not stop yourself, but then God loved you enough to put up a roadblock. He loved you enough to somehow, some way, after the counsel of his own will, he by the power of the Holy Spirit and how he works and chastens you and chastens me, he has a way of preventing destruction. Now, there's times where, especially BC, before Christ in my life, where I personally have self-destructed and hurt a lot of relationships before I got saved. And no doubt, destruction, I was heading that direction. A lot of my friends ended up in prison or in the graveyard. And you say, what's so different between you and them? Nothing was different between me and them. The only thing I can say is I found out later in life that I've had some family praying for my salvation. And I don't know if they didn't have someone praying for them or not. But I said that to say this, that we serve a God tonight who's worthy to be praised from saving us from destruction. And think about even today, or present times, being saved and knowing the Lord. The times where maybe, I don't know, you had an appointment that was canceled, or you couldn't get somewhere where you needed to be. And no doubt that God probably, most definitely, I'm sure, was saving you from destruction. Sometimes he prevents destruction by delays. Well, he says in verse number 4, he redeems our life from destruction. Verse number 4 as well, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse number 5, he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth us or encircles us with loving kindness and tender mercies. It's kind of like, I know you can't see this, but I'll show you anyway. It's kind of like the wedding band. The wedding band. I'm still walking. The wedding band. It is a perfect circle. And the Bible's telling us that he has crowned us, encircled us with loving kindness and tender mercies. There is no beginning. There is no end. I want to say tonight, church, that that's exactly what the Lord does for us. There is no beginning. There is no end to his love for us. There's nothing that we can do to make him love us any less. There's nothing that we can do to make him love us any more. He just loves us. loving kindness. And I like what he says. He says, tender mercies. Those times we drop the ball, we flip, we stumble, we blow everything, we miss the target. He loves us. He has put a wedding band on the church of God, and it's a symbol of his unconditional love tonight. Well, he's still working on this clay up here. We see that he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And then in verse number 5, he satisfies us. Satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And God has a way of quenching the thirst of the spiritual man. He has a way of giving us a drink in the drought. He has a way of feeding us and giving us good things. That's the T when it comes to this acronym on prayer. Thanksgiving. We come before Him. Thank you for who you are. Then we confess of our sins. And then we thank Him for what He does. Forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, and satisfies. Let me mention the last one. The S stands for supplication. This is the prayer that we offer up of our needs or the needs of others. We have concerns we may have. This is the prayer of supplication. Sometimes we have concerns about ourselves. Other times it's concerns about others. And the concerns we may have about others, this is what we call intercessory prayer. It's when we have a brother or a sister or a lost person or somebody we've crossed paths with that needs prayer. We offer up prayer, the prayers of supplication. Keep in mind, Ephesians 6:18 says, praying with all prayer. And this has to do with supplication. It has to do coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, I adore you. Lord, I confess some things. God, I thank you for what you have done. But Lord, tonight, I offer up to you my supplication. I have a need tonight, Lord. You know that need. You're omniscient, but God, I need your omnipotence in my situation. I need you to show your power. Or it may be a prayer for others. You're praying a prayer of supplication for others. Lord, so-and-so needs a touch. So-and-so has lost a loved one. So-and-so needs you, Lord. I pray that you would intervene on their behalf. Every time we have service, we always start out with prayer requests. And these prayer requests are prayers of supplication, concerns and needs of others. In Philippians chapter number 4, I want you to notice in verse number 6 what Paul says here. Philippians 4 in verse number 6, he says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the prayer of supplication that we may have for us or others. We go to God we go to God concerning us, but other times we go to God concerning others, and we offer up whatever we may be anxious about. He says, be careful for nothing. Easier preached than lived. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. You may be anxious about yourself. There may be some anxiety about somebody else or another situation. So you pray. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I confess my own personal sin. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. And now, God, I'm asking you'll do those things again. Prayer for yourself and prayer for others. I like Galatians chapter number 6 in verse number 1. Notice something here. Galatians 6, 1, what he says. In Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1, He says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is prayer for others, particularly someone who is overtaken in a fault, overtaken in being led astray in some kind of sin or something that has dominion over them. Paul tells us that we ought to invest in their life. We are to restore such a one. We are to help out in that burden that they may have, something that they may be carrying and struggling with. A burden that is carried by two people is half as light, is half as heavy. But he says in verse number 1, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That spirit of meekness, or restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. There's a whole idea there of a doctor that is resetting a bone that's been broken. And the doctor, he doesn't grab that bone and just slap it together, but he tenderly, caringly, lovingly, he attaches and puts that bone back together how he would want his bone put back together, or bones back together. He's considering himself. And so he tenderly does that. "Consider thyself, lest also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is those that we pray for, intercede for, who's struggling in life, those who need to be restored, those who have fallen in their Christian life. And so we see tonight the letter S, which is supplication. Prayer for ourselves and others. We see the T, and that's for thanksgiving, thanking God for what He's done. Then there's the letter C for confession. The sinner's prayer, the saint's prayer is wrapped up in that one. And then the letter A for adoration. And that is thanking God for who He is. Again, back in our original verse this evening, in Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse number 18, Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." I believe that acronym on prayer, the word ACTS, we can find that all prayer is wrapped up in those four letters, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Tonight, just a refresher, a reminder on the subject of prayer, and how often prayer is neglected. But tonight it is definitely something we need to utilize, a tool. We have this open access plan with our Heavenly Father by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us start our week in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. I pray that folks watching would do business with you as they view from their living rooms or wherever they're at. Let us this week be people of prayer, and let us be empowered by our prayers. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.